Broadcast sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in John's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we approach thy throne of grace, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ at this hour, we do pray that thou wilt look upon us in mercy, and that thy word that thou hast given us will go home to the hearts of men and women, will sink down deep into many hearts, and they will seek thee and find thee and search for thee with all of their heart, as thou dost work in them by thy Spirit. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Thank you.
I want every one of you under the sound of my voice to see the King when he comes. But you can only see him if you come to know him down here. You'll never see him by sight to love him and be with him. And first you come to know him and to see him by faith and to crown him Lord down here. And this is the reason we preach God's precious eternal word. That by the foolishness of preaching, which he's ordained to save those that believe, you might too hear what we have heard, the voice of the Son of God, calling us to repentance, causing us to bow to his lordship, that you too might be waiting for his coming. I'm talking about his coming. I've got a little book I want to give you this month entitled The ABCs of the Prophetical Scriptures by George Clement. This is a concise study of biblical prophecies, a treatment of such topics as the kingdom, the second coming, the tribulation, the millennium, and the Antichrist. The book quotes scripture passages extensively, relates passages dealing with the future to each other. The clear, thorough, and simple way of presenting the subject makes this study helpful for anyone interested in prophecy. To me, it's the greatest little book I've ever read on the subject. It's really the ABCs of the prophetical scriptures. He lays it out before you in 1, 2, 3, 4, and truly they are the ABCs. You'll want a copy of this book for your own perusal there in your home. I wholeheartedly recommend it to you. Write for it, will you? It's entitled The ABCs of the Prophetical Scriptures. It's yours free and postpaid if you will write us. May we say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We welcome your letters. Whether you agree with us or not, we still welcome them. We praise God that you are reading the material that's being sent out. For all of these messages given over the Word of Truth broadcast or put in print, and they are yours if you will ask for them, free and postpaid. Also, a copy of these messages are available through our revolving tape ministry. You can hear them on cassette tape if you will ask for them. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. You write us this next week, will you? And now for God's message. We praise the Lord for the opportunity to again come into your home with a message from God's Word. Today let us continue upon the gracious subject, Christ is Lord of all. I want you to listen. Dear friend, to rightly understand God's Word and His purpose in redemption, there must be an opening of our spiritual eyes by the Holy Spirit to the sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is, to His lordship, His headship, or His kingship over the hearts and lives of His people. To be saved, you and I must bow to His sovereignty, that is, to His lordship, His right to rule over our hearts and our lives, and all of those whom He saves. You see, the Scriptures teach that we must bow to His authority, for He alone has the right to dictate the terms of salvation, and we are to give up ourselves to Him to rule over us in all matters of our life. We must understand that as Lord, as Sovereign, He alone can break the power of sin in our lives. He alone can bind the strong man, Satan, and set us free. He alone has the power to take us out of the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, and bring us into His kingdom of light and His kingdom of love. And my dear friend, this is what He does. He does all of this for He is Lord. And if He was not Lord, He could not do it. If He was not all-powerful and all-glorious, He could not do it. But He does it because He is Lord. And all of this is based upon His great work of redemption, which is His work of grace and His work of love. Now follow us now as we go into our message. Will you? The sovereignty of Christ, that is His lordship, His headship, is set forth for us in the eternal purpose of the triune God in these words in Ephesians 1:9-11. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are which are in heaven, and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. To me, dear friend, the substance of these verses is this, that the great objective upon which the heart of God is set is the bringing of all things into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's eternal purpose, that He would come down in the person of His Son. He would take the body of Jesus of Nazareth, and in that conception in the Mary, in the Virgin's womb, the Virgin Mary, He would form a body. And that body would be His vehicle He would use throughout eternity, that He might show forth His people Himself. For Christ came to show forth the Father. This is brought out in 1 Corinthians 15:24-28. God hath put all things under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, under His authority, under His control, for He is head. Ephesians 1:20-23 tells us the same thing, that the eternal purpose of God, the great objective of His heart, is being carried out, and carried out now. For God has raised Christ from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Watch it now. And hath put all things under His feet. Not in some millennium way out yonder. No, right now, when He went back to glory. For you see, He's been ruling and reigning for nearly 2,000 years. He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And my dear friend, what all this means in a practical way of application to each one of us is this. Listen to me now. That there is no phase in the scope of salvation that is not under the control and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that sink in. Let that go home to our hearts. There is no phase in the scope of salvation that is not under the control and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being Lord, we must bow to His authority in salvation. For He is Lord. We must come under His headship, for He has been appointed head over all things to the church. Let us work this out in this way as we proceed with our message under this title this morning, will you? The Holy Spirit, through the New Testament writers, establishes His unimpeachable sovereignty. In Matthew 11:27, we hear our Lord saying, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him." Here we have stated the absolute sovereignty or lordship of Jesus Christ, that no man can have this revelation of the Father in salvation apart from receiving it as a free gift by grace, and that from the Son, and He gives it to whomsoever He will. This forever then does away with this false doctrine so widely preached today, that a man can have the saviorship of Christ without bowing to His lordship. For dear friend, Christ reveals Himself to no sinner as Savior, while as yet that sinner refuses to bow to Him as head, as Lord, and as King of His life. So we see then that being sovereign, He is Lord over all that comes into salvation, and whosoever will is contingent upon whomsoever He wills to reveal the Father unto. That's the reason we bow to Him as Lord, my friend. For salvation is in His hands. He is sovereign over it. Again, look at the statement made in Acts 5:31, that God has exalted Christ with His own right hand to be a Prince and a Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. We see here that there is no true repentance, no true faith, no true forgiveness of sins apart from receiving them at the hands of our sovereign Lord, who has been exalted at God's right hand to give them to us. Prince means ruler. He's Lord. You see, in repentance, we come to the sovereign Lord, forsaking our way and turning from our own thoughts and bowing to His rule over our lives. For salvation is a repentance in salvation is a 180-degree turn. We turn back to Him. We change our mind about sin. We confess that it has been against His sovereignty, His lordship, and that we have been nothing but ungodly rebels in His sight. You see, in repentance, sin and self are dethroned. For true repentance has a sorrow for sin so deep that the sinner is willing to turn his back upon his sin and live henceforth under righteousness. It is a radical change of mind and of heart resulting in transformed conduct, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 1 John 3:7 and 9. You see, it is the sinner now coming with hatred for that which he once loved, that is sin in all of its forms, and now loving that which he once hated, and that is God's unsolved holiness. Isn't this precious? Did you get what I said? In repentance, sin and self are dethroned. How many books have I read in my life? And it gives a description of a round circle, and there's a throne there. And the first circle, the first picture, has a throne there, and self and sin sits upon the throne. In the second picture, round circle, there is moved into it a cross, and self and sin still sits upon the throne. And the third picture, the round circle, there's the cross, and Christ sits upon the throne, and self and sin are dethroned. And this carnal Christian theory that's promulgated today, which is a lie out of hell, they have inserted that second picture. For the first picture is true. The throne and self and sin there. The third picture is true. The cross is there and Christ sits upon that throne and self and sin are dethroned. But the carnal Christian preachers, they put that second picture in there. They have the cross in there and that means that you have bowed to Him as Savior. But you have not yet bowed to Him as Lord because self and sin are upon the throne. Oh, but my friend, this is not Scripture. Down with the second picture. Let us see and understand the first picture that sin and Satan and self are on the throne. Let us look at that third picture, which is rightly the second picture, and see Christ on the throne because in salvation and true repentance, sin and self are dethroned. Why? Because true repentance results in self-abhorrence. You don't want self no more. You're done with self. And faith in Christ Jesus acknowledges His sovereignty as lordship. That's right. True repentance results in self-abhorrence, while faith in Christ acknowledges His sovereignty or His lordship. You see, dear friend, the only evidence of true repentance is fruit worthy of repentance. And this is shown in the fact that we have bowed to His lordship. And this is nothing less than the fruit of the Spirit made possible by the lordship of Christ in the heart, which lordship is bowed to in the gift of repentance and faith. I want you to listen to me now. You've been listening, but I want you to get this next statement we're going to make. Pick up your ears and listen. Faith. Saving faith can mean nothing less than that the poor, repenting, believing sinner has come willingly to give himself up to Christ as Lord. The repenting, believing sinner has taken himself out of his own keeping and has entrusted himself into the keeping of the Lord. For you see, he cannot and will not yield himself up to another unless he believes that the one into whose hands he has trusted himself for time and eternity, was powerful enough to keep him. And therefore in faith, through saving faith, he commits the whole man to the whole Christ. And he yields himself up to be Christ for time and for eternity. And he can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have received. and that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And what does he commit? The whole man, spirit, soul, and body, bows to Christ his Lord. All right? You listening? Now let us see Christ's sovereignty or lordship in redemption. First he says in John 10:17-18, that I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. We see that the life of the sovereign Lord was not taken from him, but he chose to lay it down of himself. For you see, the redemption of his people was the one object for his being here upon this earth. To save them and bring them with him to glory and to share in his glory was the joy that was set before him, according to Hebrews 12:2. You see, he tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he did it all alone. Why did he do it? That he might, as the Lord of his people, conquer death, hell, and the grave. For what reason? That he might, by the power of his shed blood, applied to the hearts of his people by the Holy Spirit, bring many sons into glory and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And how does the Scripture picture this? Scripture speaks of it as being the cross of who? Of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have been crucified unto the world, and the world hath been crucified unto us. It is spoken of again as the crucifixion of the Lord of glory. And why? Because he is the Lord of redemption. The one who gave himself for our sins that he might redeem us from this present evil world by his sovereign power, so that he might present us holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. It is he, the Lord of glory, the Lord of redemption, who loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, for that it should be holy and without blame before him in love throughout eternity. Oh, but my dear friend, I want you to get the next one. We also see Christ's sovereignty or lordship in resurrection. Romans 1:3-4 tells us that God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. You see, Peter, in his first message on the day of Pentecost, based Christ's lordship upon his resurrection. He said that David, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, and this Jesus hath God raised up, where we were all witnesses. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Being therefore the Lord of resurrection, he could say to Martha in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And I for one praise the Lord. Praise be in his glorious name, that being the Lord of resurrection, according to John 5:21, he quickeneth whom he will. No wonder the Scripture says in Revelation 20:6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And why? Because Christ is the Lord of the first resurrection, which is the resurrection of poor sinners from the grave of sin. Listen as our Lord himself explains this for us in John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Yes, indeed, that soul is blessed who is called by the Lord of resurrection to come unto him for life. It is by his voice, the voice of his power, that he calls sinners from the grave of sin to walk in newness of life. You see, only the Lord of glory, the Lord of resurrection, can do this. To me, this, dear friend, this throws out the window forever the so-called man's so-called free will, for it is the Lord of resurrection who makes the sinner willing in the day of his power, the power of resurrection, to lay down his arms of rebellion, seek for mercy, and bow to the lordship of Christ in repentance and faith. Why? For being the Lord of resurrection, he calls us from the grave of sin in the first resurrection and makes us blessed in him indeed. But not only that, he is also the Lord of the second resurrection, the physical resurrection of the dead, both of the saints and the sinners. For he tells us in John 5:28-29, marvel not at this, the hour is coming in the which all that in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And the scripture says again in Romans 14:9, that he is Lord both of the living and the dead. For to this end Christ both died and rose again, that he might be both Lord of the dead and of the living. Oh, this is a blessed subject. I praise God for it. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we have tried, by the grace of God, to show you this today, that this is what the scripture speaks of, that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. I could take you through the scriptures and show you, if we had time today, that every individual that ever came to him bowed to his lordship, even as Saul of Tarsus cried, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, when God dealt with his heart? Oh, I pray that you will write for a copy of this message and your free book on the ABCs of the prophetical scriptures, all sent to you free and postpaid. We thank you for listening. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. This is Pastor Shelton who's been speaking to you, bringing you God's message at this hour. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.